What do you like to do when you're bored? Play. You know, how many of you, when you're bored, and I'm talking up here, are you counting the bricks behind me? I remember when I was in seventh grade, in that time frame, when I was bored, we used to do this thing where we would throw things in the air and see if we could catch them. And we do, and as you can see, I'm not very good at that. And so we would do that, so we would do that in homeroom. Homeroom lasted for 10 minutes. And the homeroom that I went to was the art room. And it wasn't the drawing and painting art room. It was the sculpting and that kind of building stuff art room. And so we went to that art room for our homeroom for 10 minutes for attendance and announcements. And I was bored. And so I picked up an object to throw in the air and to catch. And what I picked up was a hammer. And I don't know if you understand the weight distribution of a hammer. One end is considerably heavier than the other. And so when you throw it in the air, it's not in a full and complete circle. It's sort of oblong. And that hammer hit me right there on my tooth and broke out half my tooth. And I still remember the most horrible sound was the tink, 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 tink of half my tooth on the linoleum floor. And it was like, oh, my word. And oh, can I glue it back in? And I felt terrible. And it was so stupid. It was so stupid. And I started, almost immediately, I started making up stories. You know what we call that? Lying. I started telling lies about how I broke it because it didn't sound, you know, very manly that I threw a hammer in the air. But that's something I did wrong. Now, what have you done wrong? What are some mistakes that you've done? Perhaps it was sneaking a piece of candy into your pocket when you were in the store and not paying for it. Or maybe you told a story that you know wasn't true to make somebody else look bad. Or maybe you, when you were taking a test and you got stumped, you looked on somebody else's paper. Or maybe going down the hallway at school, you accidentally tripped somebody. Have you done any of those? Once we make a mistake like that, what does God call that? Sin. Once we sin, what do we do about that? Well, that's what we're taking a look at today. How can we deal with sin? And we're going to take a look at two different aspects of that. One was God's temporary fix, and then his permanent fix. And so, here's the passage we're going to look at today. Leviticus 16, starting in verse 7. Then he must take two male goats and present them to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. He is to cast sacred lots and determine which goat will be reserved as an offering to the Lord and will carry the sins of the people to the wilderness of Azazel. Aaron will present as a sin offering the goat chosen by lot for the Lord. The other goat, the scapegoat, chosen by the lot to be sent away, will be kept alive, standing before the Lord. When it is sent away to the Azazel in the wilderness, the people will be purified and made right with the Lord. So, this is Children's Sunday. On a typical Sunday, the children will watch a video. So I thought, as we're taking a look at this today, we'll watch the children's video.
Chapter 17, A Tale of Two Goats, Leviticus 16. The Israelites were almost ruined by a cow, but once a year they were rescued by two goats. The day was called the Day of Atonement, and it was one of the most important holidays in Israel. Kind of like Christmas, except with fewer cookies and more goats. On one day, and on only one day, each year, the holiest person in Israel would put on his holy clothes and go into the holy place of the holy tent to stand before the holy God to make atonement for God's unholy people. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? But the holiday was actually pretty simple. Atonement is how separated people can become at one. God is holy and good and perfect, and God loves us very much. But if we're honest, we have to admit we are not very holy or good or perfect. We are sinners, and sin needs a substitute. If we want to live with God, and God certainly wants to be with us, we need someone or something to pay for our sin. That's where the goats come in. Israel had lots of sacrifices for sin, but once a year, the high priest took two goats and confessed all the people's sins over those goats. It was like taking all the mistakes and all the fighting and all the lying and all the yelling and all the meanness from the past year and putting those sins on a substitute. And do you know what happened to the goats? The first goat died, that the sins of the people might be forgiven. The second goat lived and was led into the wilderness, that the sins of the people might be forgotten. We might feel bad for the two goats, especially the first one, but then we should feel even worse for our sin, and even better for our salvation. Forgive and forget. That's what God does with our sins. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Out of the holy place, out of the tent, outside the camp, and into the wilderness, never to be seen again. But of course, we can't really be rescued by goats. The goats were there to remind people of the redemption they needed, and the rescuer who was yet to come. Many years later, Jesus would be taken outside the camp too, to suffer and die and be our substitute. And once again, our sins would be forgiven and forgotten. This time, finally and forever.
So, to accomplish the forgiveness, God used two goats. Used two different goats. One was sacrificed as an offering, and one was sent away with their sins. They would confess all the sins over this goat, and then they would send it away into the wilderness. It covered the sins of the people for how long? For 1 year. And so next year, two more goats. And the year after that, two more goats. And the year after that, two more goats. For how long? For hundreds and hundreds of years. Two goats every year. Two goats every year. And that's how God forgave their sins. Why is one of my favorite questions. So why did God do that? Why did God say, here, you need to have two goats? First of all, was to teach them a lesson. And God wanted to teach them that there is a cost for sin. Something has to die, and it's not going to be you, but God said something has to pay the price, and so there is an animal that has to die because you aren't perfect, and there's no way we can have a relationship with God unless we are perfect. And so God says you can have an animal be a substitute. And so he was teaching this is a cost for when we do something wrong, when we sin. It's just like you're in a store and you're looking at something really nice, a really nice vase in the store, and then you're clumsy like I am and you drop the vase. What happens? Do you know the motto? You broke it, you bought it. That's right. You have to pay the price. And that's what God is teaching them. He was teaching them a lesson. There's a price to be paid. And then the second part of that is to give them a clue. God was giving them a clue that to point to the future, to the final solution for their sin. Do you like mysteries? God is setting up this mystery, and he's giving you some clues so you can figure it out. So imagine I'm going to give you some clues, and you try to figure out who the clues are pointing to. So if the clues are a hook, a worm, and a small boat, who is that pointing to? A fisherman, of course. And if the clues are a baseball, a mitt, and a bat, what are we looking for? Baseball player. And what if the clues are some cows, a tractor, and a barn? What are we looking for? A farmer. Yes, we're looking for a farmer. See, you see how that works? So just like those situations, God is giving them a clue about who to look for in the future. And so he had two goats, and God was giving them a clue from the two goats. One is a sacrifice, and one that carried away their sins. So for hundreds of years, they were playing this game. For hundreds of years, there was this mystery. Who is it? Is it? No? No? Is it? No? And for hundreds of years, they were waiting. They were looking. They were searching. Until this one day, they noticed this teacher. And he was teaching, and they were like, I think this is the guy. And then after he died and came back from the grave, they were like, that was him. He's the one we're looking for. See, God was pointing to Jesus. God was pointing to Jesus. So which of the goats points to Jesus? Let's find out. 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses. My dear children, I am writing to you so that you will not sin. Remember, we talked about that at the beginning. We all have a tendency to do that. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is what? He is the sacrifice that atones. That means makes right or repairs the wrong. He's the one, the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all of the world. That's Jesus. So he was sacrificed as an offering. Jesus was sacrificed as an offering. That's the first goat. So Jesus was the first goat. Then 1 John 3:5. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. So, secondly, he took our sins away, like the second goat. Jesus was like the first goat, that he was a sacrifice. He was like the second goat. He took our sins away. He played the role of both goats. He was the sacrifice, and he took our sins away. Jesus replaced both goats. You know why? Because Jesus is the goat. Have you heard that phrase before? Jesus is the greatest of all time. He is the greatest of all time. Jesus is the greatest of all time. And throughout the scripture, we see that, the greatness of Jesus. Colossians 1 in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him everything was created, things on earth and under the earth, things in heaven and things on earth. He created all of them. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It talks about how great Jesus was. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That Jesus is the greatest. Jesus is the goat. And so how should that affect us? Paul goes on and says in Philippians chapter 2, have you ever had a stinking bad attitude? Me too. What do you do when you have a stinking bad attitude? Has there been some elbowing going on? All the way to church this morning, you were just, all right, well, how do we adjust our attitudes? Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's how Jesus changes our attitude when we see him. What did Jesus do? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. If you're ever in a bad mood, serve somebody. Serve somebody. Humble yourself and serve somebody. And see how that changes your mood. You said, I don't feel like it. You don't feel your way into acting. You act your way into feeling. You do the right thing, and that will change the way you feel. One of the worst things you can ever do is follow your feelings. Oh, just follow your heart. Don't do that. Jesus is the greatest of all time. Hebrews 10:12 says, but our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. Good for all time. Not every year, but good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. Because only Jesus can forgive all our sins. Only Jesus can forgive all our sins. So let me tell you about my tooth. I was so embarrassed that I did something stupid and I started telling lies. Looking back, I think that was so stupid because there were a bunch of kids around when I did that. They saw me pick up half my tooth off the floor. And I came up with stuff while I was like, remember when we played flag football in phys ed yesterday? Randy Hunley kind of tackled me and I hit my tooth on a stone. And then Randy Hunley later that day said, I didn't tackle you yesterday. And so I had to change it again and change it again and change it. And I just kept telling lie after lie after lie after lie. And the whole time, I was going to the dentist's office. They had to take the half tooth that was there. They had to grind it down. They had to drill out the nerve that was in the tooth. He started drilling it before he gave me Novocaine. And I was like, didn't give you a shot yet? Oh, no, you didn't. I can tell. He drilled out the nerve. They put a gold post in, and they fixed a temporary cap over it. And every couple of years, I have to get a new temporary cap until I turned 18. And then they put a permanent cap on that I have now. It was a lot of expense for my parents, and I lied to them the whole time. And I remember at some point in that process, the guilt was too much. And I remember I went to talk to my mom, and I was in tears, and I said, "Mom, I'm sorry, I lied." And I'm sure my mom wanted to laugh because that was the world's stupidest lie. I said, "Yeah, I hit myself in the mouth with a hammer and broke off half my tooth, and that's really what happened." But I tell you what, I wish every single one of you could experience what I experienced in that moment. The ton of bricks that was weighing me down was lifted off my shoulders. When I asked for forgiveness and God forgave me, when I confessed my sin, all that weight was gone. It's like forgiveness is so amazing. And that's what we have. Why is Jesus the goat? Because he provides that for us. That's where we get forgiveness, is from Jesus. And that's why Jesus came, to forgive us our sins so that we could have a relationship with God through him. And so if there's something in your life this morning and you say, that needs to be forgiven, just simply pray this: "Dear God, I did," and then just fill in the blank with that, whatever you did. Don't sugarcoat it. Just tell the truth. "God, this is what I did. It was wrong. Forgive me." I'll give you time right now. You can simply do that right now. Father, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus did the hard work in dying for us, in paying the price that's for us. Thank you that you now gave us a mission that we need to tell others about you. Thank you that Jesus is the goat. Help us to live for him. Help us to share the good news with those around us, that there's forgiveness. We don't have to carry guilt. We don't have to carry that weight anymore. That's wasted energy. Thank you for freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.